Sometimes it seems like God takes forever, or at least that God doesn't have the same sense of urgency that we have and operates on a completely different timetable altogether. God's pace to make things happen has seemed snail slow to me this week. On Wednesday afternoon, a 19-year-old white man walked into Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in South Florida and opened fire with an AR-15 rifle. On a day when we contemplate our mortality, recalling that we are dust and to dust we will return, the families and friends of 17 people began to know that reality in a more intimate way. These people have woken up to their own vulnerability, and some of us with them, realizing that we're not going to live forever, that our bodies are incredibly fragile, especially when opposite a militarized rifle. For those who have hunkered down while shots rang out or bombs exploded above, God cannot come quickly enough to end the violence of our world, especially those in our schools, never fully knowing if our kids or teachers will come home at the end of a day. In these moments, these fragile moments of our lives, we hope for Jesus to show up and take control of the situation, to comfort us in our pain and sorrow, to turn things for the better, to help us escape the hold of death for even just a little while longer, or to make the pain cease. I suspect at least some of us would like Jesus to show up and save us from the hard work of figuring out a solution to our country's gun control problem together, or gun violence problem together. Sometimes it is in these moments when we begin to sense Jesus' absence, wondering if he just isn't coming. It's this very absence that Mary and Martha noticed in the wake of their brother Lazarus' death. They sat by Lazarus' bedside, watching his chest rise and fall, hoping and praying that it wouldn't stop before Jesus could get there, trusting that Jesus would and could heal him, trusting that Jesus would prevent their heartbreak. They had seen Jesus' power and ability before. They knew what he was capable of, and they knew how much Jesus loved the three of them. But instead of going to Lazarus's bedside right away, instead of being there for those that he loved in a time of need, Jesus waits 2 more days. He waits to go. He does not leave right away. What was Jesus thinking? Does he not know how serious this is? How can he say that this illness does not lead to death, but instead is only an instrument of God's glory? How can he not go if he cares so much? How can he not be there for them in the midst of their pain? How can he stand around waiting, doing nothing for 2 days? And how can he bear waiting if he doesn't have word of how they're doing? Somewhere in all of these questions, if we're honest, there comes a point when we realize that we're no longer asking them on behalf of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, but instead we're asking them for ourselves. On Wednesday, I found myself wondering where Jesus was when the shots rang out in Parkland, Florida. Since, I've wondered where he was when the gunman walked into a church in Texas 3 months ago, or where he was in October when a shooter opened up fire in Las Vegas, killing 58 people and wounding hundreds of others, or where Jesus was at Sandy Hook Elementary 5 years ago. I'm tired of wondering. I'm tired of preaching after yet another mass shooting. Maybe you're tired of hearing about it. We're also tired of wondering where Jesus is in the midst of all of these violent acts. Where was Jesus in the midst of the pain and the suffering that we have witnessed, either in the war zones or in our neighborhoods and our schools? And where is he as so many people around the world die of simple hunger and thirst, two things that we seemingly could remedy at any point? maybe our questions were never really about Mary and Martha or even Lazarus. They were always about us, about our experiences that have led us to believe that God just doesn't show up sometimes, that Jesus is MIA when we need him the most, almost as if he's neglectful, waiting around for just two more days, making him 2 days too late. Because that's the crux of the story, isn't it? It's exactly what first Martha and then Mary say to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, if you hadn't been somewhere else, if you had been doing what you were supposed to do, caring for those you love, then he wouldn't have died. And now you show up when he's been dead for 4 days, 1 day too long." It's almost as if Mary is scolding Jesus, reminding him that the soul leaves the body after 3 days, according to Jewish belief, making resurrection seemingly impossible. If you had been here, he would still be with us. You could have saved him, or at the very least, come a day before, and then you could have resurrected him, brought him back to us. But now it seems that there's no hope. Sometimes it seems like it takes God forever to get to us. And yet God does show up. Jesus does come. And after he does, when Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who had come also with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. This is where we find our God, weeping in grief for those who have died, unafraid of the pain, unafraid of the suffering that comes with grief, unafraid of entering into it with those who are already there. For all those questions about where Jesus is, this is where he is, in the midst of our grief with us, weeping for the loss of life, weeping for our ability to create that suffering for ourselves and others. God may seem to take forever to get to us, but God still shows up in the midst of our pain and our sorrow, crying tears of grief with us, knowing what it is to be in anguish. This is a God who is and will be there, here when everything seems bleak. A God who is here even when everything seems lost and the world is turned upside down. A God who is emphatically the resurrection and the life. In the Greek, it's literally, I am the resurrection and the life. A God who will say to the dead, come out, and to the bare bones left after decay has claimed everything else, live again, have new flesh. After Jesus resurrects Lazarus, when Lazarus came out of the tomb, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped with a cloth, Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus invites the community gathered to join him in bringing new life into their midst, to partner with him in the resurrection. Jesus invites us into that same partnership, inviting us, maybe commanding us, to work for resurrection and new life in our midst too, to unbind people and to set them free, to ensure life and freedom for the whole of creation, something Jesus does in the ashes of death. Jesus is here, even now, when things seem impossible, willing to enter into our pain and suffering, weeping in grief, working to bring life out of death, even on the fourth day, when there is a definite stench in the tomb and everything seems lost. Jesus shows up and brings Lazarus back to life, brings us back to life, making what is impossible possible. Maybe even figuring out how to get us to talk to one another about gun violence and then working together for a solution. Because with Jesus around, there's always hope. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." But even now, God will give Jesus whatever he asks of him. It may not be the timing that we'd like or expect, but there is always hope when Jesus is around, and he is here.